Well, good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you all to Washington, D.C., for those who had to travel in. I hope your trips in were fine, and accommodations were good for those who were here last night, so thank you all for being here. I'm Marty Bauman. I'm the Chief Auditor and Director of Professional Standards for the PCAOB, and I'd like to officially call to order this meeting of the Standing Advisory Group. We're looking forward to 2 days of very interesting and enthusiastic dialogue and informative and information from all of you regarding the matters that we've sent out in advance. We appreciate the participation of all of those SAG members and observers who are here. We also appreciate the attendance of all the other people who are here in the room, and also those who are listening in on our webcast. Before I go any further, however, I'd like to turn the meeting over to our acting chairman of the PCAOB, Dan Gelzer, for a few comments. Dan.
Thanks very much, Marty. I'd like to join in welcoming everyone to the fall 2009 meeting of the PCAOB's Standing Advisory Group. As I think everyone in the room knows, the SAG is one of the key vehicles that the board uses to gain input and insight into how we should be directing our activities in setting auditing standards for public companies. We always learn a tremendous amount at these meetings. At least I certainly always learn a tremendous amount. And I want to thank all of you for being willing to serve on the Standing Advisory Group and for taking the time to be here today. I should also note at the outset that this is Marty Bauman's first meeting as chair of the SAG. Marty became Chief Auditor and Director of Professional Standards in April 2009, just shortly after the last SAG meeting. Marty is, however, certainly not new to the PCAOB or to our standard-setting program. As I think many of you know, before becoming Chief Auditor, he served for 3 years as Director of our Office of Research and Analysis. He led ORA in identifying and evaluating emerging audit and accounting issues and other challenges, and directing the focus of the board's inspections, enforcement, and standard-setting programs to address those matters. The move to heading the standards program was the next logical step. One of the things that I hope will become clear at this meeting is that we're embarking on a new phase in our standard-setting. We have a very ambitious standard-setting agenda planned for the coming year, and Marty is going to review the agenda with you this morning. I think his presentation will make clear that we're focusing on some of what I would call nuts and bolts auditing issues, and particularly on issues that our inspection program has highlighted as areas where standards can be improved or modernized. The issues that the advisory group is going to be discussing today and tomorrow, auditing fair value measurements, audit committee communications, related party transaction auditing challenges. These all illustrate, I think, this renewed focus. Our ongoing projects on confirmations, which the SAG discussed at its last meeting, and our risk assessment standard setting proposal fall into the same category. While the standard setting program has always been a busy one, the coming months are likely to see more activity with more potential impact on financial statement auditing than any similar period in the board's existence. Before I turn the floor back to Marty, I just want to emphasize how much we value the role of the SAG, the role it plays in our standard setting. I did a kind of a back-of-the-envelope computation last night, and if my recollection is correct, this is the 17th SAG meeting that we've had since the inaugural meeting in June of 2004. Since that time, or in those 17 meetings, SAG has certainly discussed a wide range of topics. Not all have resulted in standard-setting projects, at least not yet, and perhaps it's not always clear to the members of the SAG how their deliberations fit into the board's program. With that in mind, Marty reached out to the SAG members and asked for their suggestions and comments on how we can best use this high-powered group. In his remarks, I think he's going to touch on some of the feedback that he received. We've also prepared a chart showing the current status of the standard-setting topics previously discussed by the SAG over the last 6.5 years. We're making that available this morning, and I think you'll find that of interest. So I hope each of you will feel free to let Marty or me or any of the other board members or staff know if you have additional ideas about what the role of the SAG should be and how we can best use your input and ideas. And with that, I just want to thank everyone again for taking the time to be here with us for the next 2 days, and I'll turn the floor back to Marty.
Thank you very much, Stan. The first thing I'd like to do is to briefly go over the agenda for the meeting for the next 2 days. Copies of the agenda should be on top of the folders that were in front of each SAG member and observer. For anybody else here in the room, all of the handouts, the agenda, and all the other handouts for today's meeting were at the front table, so hopefully you received them. If you didn't, they're available to you. And I should point out that for those listening in, the agenda and items included in the folders have also been posted to our website. During the first part of this meeting today, really over the next hour, I'll discuss our standard-setting activities. As part of this discussion, I'm going to cover really 4 items. First thing is, briefly as Dan mentioned, a summary of comments about the SAG or standard setting that I received from SAG members and observers based upon my request for such information when I was appointed chief auditor. So I reached out to you and asked for input and comments on standard setting and operation of the SAG, and many of you responded. The second item I'll cover is a summary of the standard setting activities that we've accomplished over the past year from October 2008 through today. Third, I'll go over the current standard setting agenda. And I think you'll see that document looks a bit different than anything we've put in front of you before. It's pretty descriptive in terms of what we intend to do and with respect to the time frame over which we intend to do those things. And we'll go through that. And the last item I'll cover during this hour is a review of the standard setting topics previously presented by the PCOB at the SAG meetings and the current status of those matters. So those are the main items I'll be covering during this first hour. During this presentation, I'd ask you to make careful notes about your points, your comments, and questions. As you'll see on the agenda, after the break, there's a little more than an hour for discussion of standard-setting activities and emerging issues. Your discussion of our standard-setting activities and emerging issues will go from about 10:45 through the lunch break. Although we've set aside this time for comment and discussion, I also want to make sure that anybody who feels they want to make a comment during this presentation feels like you can make a comment then as well. So we have set aside a lot of time for discussion about these, what we consider very important matters. This is our standard-setting agenda, the main issues we're dealing with, and we do want to make sure that we get input, and very good input, as part of this discussion today. Getting back to the agenda, in the first hour after lunch, we'll give you an update on comments we have received on recently proposed standards and concept releases. They are the proposed standards on risk assessment, the concept release pertaining to confirmations, and the concept release pertaining to signing of the audit report by the engagement partner. So we'll give you an overview of comments that we've received on each of these. The comment periods are closed, but we will be interested in receiving any additional input that you might have on these proposals and concept releases. The rest of the afternoon, as you can see on the agenda, will be devoted to a standard-setting project we have underway regarding fair value measurements and the use of specialists. Greg Fletcher, an associate chief auditor in our office, will introduce the topic, and then we'll all move to breakout groups for in-depth discussions. These breakout sessions will not be open to the public, and I believe everybody should have received an indication of which breakout group you're in. Tomorrow morning we start back here again at 8:30, and we will give a summary of the highlights of the breakout sessions regarding fair value measurement and use of specialists. And once again, we'll put together all the discussion points that we received from the various groups, highlighting key themes, and each of you will have, again, a chance to comment on the summary points that we make with respect to fair value and use of specialists. Obviously, this has been a critical topic from the accounting standard setter's point of view, and we're very interested in any input we receive with respect to the auditing standard setting project we have underway here. After that tomorrow, we will go over two other current standard setting projects, communications with audit committees and related parties. Those discussions will be led by Barbara Vanich and Brian Degano, Associate Chief Auditors. In addition to that, I should point out that joining me at the front of the table here are, to my immediate left, Jennifer Rand, Deputy Chief Auditor, Greg Skates, to her left, Deputy Chief Auditor, and Bella Rifshin, to my right, Associate Chief Auditor. Jennifer, Greg, and Bella will all play a key part in the discussions with me over the next 2 days. If anybody has any comments or questions about our agenda, I'll be pleased to take them now. Just as a reminder, if anybody wants to make a comment, our protocol is please just stand your name card or tent card vertically like this, and we'll call on you. A couple of people couldn't make the SAG meeting, and they're on the phone. That's Shelley Stein, Hal Schroeder, and Barbara Roper. So Shelley, Hal, and Barbara, just please state that you have a comment. We'll make note of that, and we'll put you in the queue to call on you. With that, if there are no questions at this point, let me turn to the first item on the standard setting agenda. The first item I'll discuss, and for which there is no handout if you're looking for it, is feedback received on SAG operations and standard setting. On May 1st, I sent an email message to all SAG members and observers seeking feedback regarding your views on the effectiveness of SAG meetings and on our standard setting more broadly. I received written or oral feedback from about one-third of the SAG members, and thank you very much for that input. I'm glad to note that I did hear some very positive feedback. I heard that the SAG members, the SAG meetings were very well run and well organized, that the discussions were of a very high quality, and that we were bringing important matters before the SAG for your discussion. So we're glad to hear that positive feedback. But not surprisingly, from this group, we also heard about some opportunities for improvement where we could pay attention. And let me discuss those opportunities for improvement right now. The first one was a need for greater continuity on matters discussed. Or, for example, a question that I quote, what has the PCAOB decided to do regarding that important matter that we discussed at the last meeting? So there was some feeling that very good discussion took place, a lot of input given, but what has happened to that discussion that we just had? Where are you going with it? Well, hopefully we'll begin addressing that point immediately. One of my topics this morning and in your folder is a listing of all previously discussed standard setting matters with the SAG, together with the current status of each of those matters. And at future meetings, we'll plan to do the same thing, and that is go over what matters did we discuss again in the past or recently, and what is the status of that discussion, and what are we doing with that from a standard setting perspective. The second item that we heard was the need for improved dialogue at the SAG meetings, including with PCAOB representatives. some SAG members felt that the PCAOB members' representatives needed to be more engaged in particular discussions, and we'll endeavor to do that. I will say that with respect to that comment, obviously, we look to the SAG as this group giving us input and for us to do, to listen to you and to make sure that we're getting your comments, hearing your comments, and reacting to them appropriately as we set standards. So to the extent that we weren't engaged, it's not because the lack of desire to be engaged in dialogue, but more a desire to be hearing from you. But having said that, we understand that from time to time it's important for us to make sure that we participate in that dialogue and join in and get our points across. Others also felt, and this I think is an interesting point, that at times their points got lost because of the manner in which we basically called on, well, people based upon which tent card went up in a consecutive order. And that often has the effect of chilling a point that may have been made because the next person, maybe when they put their tent card up, had a totally different thought in mind. And so therefore the dialogue didn't have any continuity to it. I'll try to work on that a little bit. If a key point is made, I may not go to the next card and ask that person to comment, but say, does anybody who has a card up want to continue and follow up on that point so that we can improve the dialogue on points that are being raised from all of you? The third comment that was made about SAG operations dealt with breakout groups. And breakout groups and breakout groups, and I heard it a number of times. And the point was that very good dialogue took place in this room, but you all felt that we did have a breakout session about a year ago on a topic, and you thought that was a very good way to get into smaller groups and have good dialogue. And again, on the theme of improving the dialogue, the breakout groups seemed to work very well. So we've taken that recommendation again to heart, and we will continue with breakout groups in the future. And you'll note that today, as I mentioned, with respect to auditing fair values, after some opening discussion here, we'll move into a breakout discussions for about 2 hours, where we'll have the opportunity for some in-depth discussion about the matters raised with respect to fair value measurements and use of specialists, but in that setting, the opportunity to potentially dig into other issues that you may have with respect to that subject. The fourth item I heard in the comments was the pace of standard setting is too slow. And I think I've heard that comment once or twice at a SAG meeting. Certainly one huge item impacting the timing of standard setting was reporting on internal controls. And that took up a great amount of the time with respect to the last couple of years and the standard setting agenda. But that said, however, I hope that when I review the current standard setting agenda and timetable that's in your folders, you'll find it to be appropriate and ambitious, and we've set out dates as to when we expect to get things done, and hopefully you'll find it to be something for which we can be accountable in the future on delivering on those goals. And the final item was to improve standard setting transparency and seek input from the profession and other constituencies earlier in the process. We're trying to do this, and we've had a number of meetings on some standard setting matters with the profession and with others, with academics in some cases and preparers. I'll be particularly interested in any comments on this point from the profession. We've also provided a significant amount of information regarding our standard setting priorities in the materials distributed today. And finally, I believe the use of the concept release, where appropriate, can also add to transparency. So I asked you how we were doing in my email some months ago. Many of you responded, and hopefully our actions today and in the future will help to make your experiences as a SAG member even more rewarding to you, and even more importantly, more valuable to us in our standard setting process. If anybody else has a comment with respect to SAG operations or standard setting matters in general, please feel free to make it now. Well, once again, I'll remind you that please make a note regarding any comments or questions you have, as we'll open up in the next hour for detailed discussions on all these matters. So let's now turn to the second standard-setting topic, a brief review of our standard-setting activities during the past 12 months. Each of you have a folder in front of you. I was going to say red, but I'm not sure. What color is this folder?
Burgundy,
thank you. Each of you have a folder in front of you, and on the left-hand side of that folder, we've got a number of items for this morning's session. The first item on the left should be a piece of paper that says PCOB Standard Setting Activities, October 2008 to 2009. I hope you'll agree that we've addressed some very important matters over the past year. The first item to discuss is auditing standard number 7 on engagement quality review, which was approved by the board in July. We believe this standard has the potential for significant improvement in audit quality. Many engagements did not previously require an EQR, and this standard will now require EQRs for all audits and all interim reviews. In addition, the requirements in AS7 should provide for more effective EQRs even where they were performed in the past. The qualifications for the reviewer, the required review procedures, and the documentation for the review have all been improved. We intend the standard to be effective for all audits or interim reviews for periods beginning after December 15, 2009. Importantly, this standard is still pending SEC approval, which we hope will be forthcoming in the near term. Let me make one final comment on AS7, which has broader application. We often hear a concern expressed about the implications of multiple audit standard setters. In AS7, we carefully consider the requirements of other standard setters with respect to concurring partner reviews or EQRs. And we included an appendix in the release explaining where, and most importantly, why our standard differed from the EQR standard of other standard setters. We're committed to having differences in our standards only when we think it's necessary, and then explaining in the standards exactly why we're different from what the other standards set out, and making it clear in the appendix where we are different from those other standard setters. So let me move on to the second item with respect to the past year, and that's the risk assessment standards. 7 risk assessment standards were proposed nearly a year ago. We've addressed the comments received, and our goal is to repropose these standards in December. We think reproposal is the right thing to do because of the foundational nature of these standards. These standards address risk assessment for all stages of the audit and provide a strong foundation for current auditing standards as well as for all future standard setting projects. So given their importance, we want to make sure that we get these right, and therefore we're going to repropose them a second time. These are significant standards, and they address core concepts underlying the audit, such as audit planning and supervision, identifying and assessing risks of material misstatement, the auditor's responses to risk of material misstatement, evaluating audit results, consideration of materiality in planning and performing an audit, and audit evidence. As I said earlier, future auditing standards will build on the fundamental principles in these risk assessment standards. We also believe these risk assessment standards will result in improvements to auditing in several ways. Among other things, they will update the existing requirements to take into account improved risk-based audit methodologies currently in use in many audits. They'll enhance the integration of the audit of financial statements with the audit of internal control over financial reporting, and they'll better embed the assessment of fraud risk into the audit, and not as a separate item, but again, embedded right into the audit procedures. In addition, the proposed standards reflect an effort to reduce unnecessary differences, again, with risk assessment standards of other standard setters. Two concept releases were issued this year, one regarding audit confirmations, and the other potentially requiring the engagement partner to sign the audit report. The concept release on audit confirmations was issued a couple of weeks after the April 1st SAG meeting, and it incorporated views expressed by SAG members. The concept release addressed, among other things, the auditor's use of confirmations, including whether the requirement to confirm accounts receivable should be expanded to other items, advances in technology, including the internet and email, and the effect of disclaimers and other restrictive language on the reliability of confirmation responses. The concept release on requiring the engagement partner to sign the audit report was issued on July 28, 2009, and addressed whether the board should require the auditor with final responsibility for the audit to sign the audit report in addition to the current requirement for the firm's signature. The SAG discussed this topic in October 2008 after the U.S. Department of Treasury Advisory Committee on the Auditing Profession issued their final report, which included the signing of the engagement report as a recommendation. The comment period has closed with respect to the risk assessments, standards, and both of the concept releases. But as I mentioned earlier, right after lunch, we will present a summary of the comments we received, and you'll have a further opportunity to give some input with respect to those standard-setting matters. Practice alerts 3 and 4 were also issued in the past 12 months. The matters covered in practice alert 3, audit considerations in the current economic environment, seem as relevant for audits and reviews now as they were during the past year. The matters raised in that alert pointed to a significantly elevated environment of audit risk in today's economy. The matters covered in Practice Alert 4 were directed at the audit implications of the FASB's FSPs on measuring fair value in inactive markets and on measuring impairments. In September, we issued a series of questions and answers as a reminder that auditors should look to the FASB codification and the rules of the SEC for authoritative U.S. GAAP guidance for SEC registrants. Even though PCAOB standards may contain descriptions of and references to U.S. GAAP, this Q&A also gives guidance to auditors regarding correction of an error or an accounting change when application of the codification results in different accounting treatment than previously reported. The FASB has indicated that they didn't intend to make any changes as part of the codification, but nevertheless, in pulling together all the various bits of accounting guidance, it was possible that when somebody looked at the codification, they could determine that it resulted in either something new that came to their attention, which could be that something was missed and it could be an accounting error, or potentially that the way it was pulled together indicated a possible accounting change. FASB's indicated that those items should be discussed with them, but depending upon the outcome, they could result in change, an accounting change or accounting error, both of which have different reporting implications. Finally, in this past year, we issued staff views on audits of internal control over financial reporting for smaller companies. This guidance, staff guidance, is intended to help auditors apply the provisions of AS5 to the audits of internal controls for smaller, less complex public companies. With respect to Section 404B of Sarbanes-Oxley, the SEC has recently announced that auditors will have to attest to management's assessments of internal control over financial reporting for non-accelerated filers for periods ending after June 15, 2010. As such, this guidance should be hopefully receive significant attention going forward. Well, that completes a high-level walkthrough of our standard setting over the past year. And let me again pause to see if anybody has any comments or questions with respect to that activity. Okay. If not, then the next item we're going to turn to is the current standard setting agenda, which is a 10-page document, again, in your folders. We had a busy year in standard setting, and we have a significant amount of additional guidance in development, as you'll see on our current standard setting agenda. The standard setting agenda includes key milestones, proposed issuance dates of concept releases or proposed standards, and proposed adoption dates. In most cases, you'll see that there's a possibility for a reproposal period, but that will depend, of course, on comments received. The timetable is also contingent on the board determining during each phase that the staff should continue to pursue a standard-setting project in each of these areas. Finally, emerging issues, new accounting developments, or legislative initiatives could impact the projected milestones or could result in other priorities not currently on the agenda. So let's move to the first item on the agenda, the risk assessment standards. I've mentioned these already. The staff is presenting proposed revisions to the board, and it's our goal to repropose these standards in December and to adopt them as final standards in the third quarter of 2010, effective for 2011 audits. With respect to audit confirmations, the staff has analyzed the comments that we've received, and we believe those comments support moving ahead with this standard-setting project. We expect to propose a standard in the first quarter of 2010 and to adopt a final standard in the third quarter of 2010. The comment period just ended on the concept release pertaining to engagement partner signing the audit report in his or her name, and the staff is in the process of analyzing those comments, and we'll be working with the board to determine whether to proceed with a proposed standard in this area. Moving on to the next page, a release is being considered for issuance this quarter with respect to the application of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act's provision on failure to supervise. The staff is currently preparing a draft release for the board's consideration relating to the board's application of Section 105(c)(6) of the Act, which authorizes the board to impose sanctions on firms and individuals for failure to supervise. The release would also seek comment on concepts relating to what, if any, rulemaking or standard setting might usefully supplement the board's application of that provision. For the next three standard setting projects on the agenda, items 5, 6, and 7, these projects, we're seeking your input at this SAG meeting. These projects pertain to fair value measurements, including the use of specialists, communications with audit committees, and related parties. Briefing papers were prepared for you in connection with each of these standard-setting projects. Assuming we move ahead with these projects, we're targeting proposed standards being issued in the first and second quarters of 2010. And let me comment very briefly on each of the three. A revised standard on fair value measurements could address, among other things, observations from the inspection's findings that some auditors are lacking professional skepticism in auditing complex fair value measurements. And secondly, could address audit responsibilities pertaining to FASB's increasing qualitative disclosures surrounding complex fair value measures. Regarding the use of specialists, the current standard makes no distinction between a specialist hired by management or a specialist engaged by the auditor. We believe these matters should be addressed and other matters as part of a standard on the use of specialists. A proposed standard on communications with audit committees could be enhanced to provide greater information about the audit. This is another area where we think audit quality could be enhanced with an improved standard. In particular, we believe that that standard could be enhanced to require more information regarding management's judgments and estimates in the financial statements and the auditor's view regarding the quality of disclosures in the footnotes to the financial statements.